I am Charles with Wayne EMS here at Georgia EMS Association's Provider Conference as we're getting towards the end of the day. And I'm here with RJ. Mm-hmm. And RJ, you're a rare beast. Very rarely does somebody come up like, hey, you got a minute, we'll do another talk. You just have to track people down. Mm-hmm. So what would you like to talk about?
You know what? I just like talking about EMS and education and stuff.
How long have you been in the field?
Golly, about 11, 12 years, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you love about EMS?
I like the fact that we can do so many things on the healthcare side that you've got the doctors who are specialized in some things, you got nurses who specialize, you got respiratory therapists that specialize, and then you got us that we're bringing a lot of that, and we're just basically being, you know, a ditch doc and who can do
sure.
all these different things that we can, you know, bring all the higher level of care that they do in the hospitals to the field. That
yeah.
way we can at least, you know, help bridge a gap between the field and the hospital.
What do you feel about the idea that we may be moving in the direction of being the medical Uber?
I already feel like that we have moved in that direction. So there's been, I do feel like there's definitely been a abuse of the system and stuff.
Well, you know, yes. Yeah, there absolutely are abuses. There's some great studies out of California where some major counties are putting people on no-fly list, which is essentially,
right.
if you call, there's some insane amount of times, like over 1,000 times in a month, call 911 for,
right.
you know, you can't. So there are some abuses, but there's
right.
some, you know, sometimes about, there's sometimes that people just don't have a way to get to the hospital, and we do need to differentiate the two. And in one
yeah.
of the session, somebody stood up and said, what about public education? You can drive through South Carolina, you can drive through Tennessee,
right.
some billboards, 911s for emergencies.
Right.
Well, here's other options, here's, you know, walk-in clinics, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to differentiate within the public and then with ourselves
right.
where the help is. How long have you been coming to conferences like this?
This is actually my first one.
How do you like it so far?
I like it. I've been wanting to come for the last, you know, like 2-3 years and stuff.
What changed this year?
Got promoted into shift supervisor, and I'm more involved with training and stuff like I always wanted to.
So which track are you been leaning on, the instructor or the provider track so far?
As far as here?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been bouncing that back and forth between both.
What's one of the coolest things you've learned so far this week?
I really like the capnography class and stuff. Capnography
good.
Is such an important vital sign that we need to utilize more, and it's always good to get that refresher on it.
Yeah.
And to, you know, because every single time that I have gone and learned about it, it's always, it's like I get to learn something new about it as well, because, I mean, the last class I took on entitled was mostly focused on ventilations, and then, you know, I'll admit I don't have critical care paramedic experience, but before I even came to the conference, my director was like, she told me about VQ mismatch, and then right here in
yeah.
this entitled class, he briefly went
Confusion,
over that.
Confusion, I love
and
it.
And I was like, this is something I need to learn more about.
Yeah.
And so
I had no idea that the reason it's not P for perfusion is because of all the malarkey around it. So they just pick Q randomly. I love they put, I'll never forget it. It's ventilation and curfusion. With a yeah, it was great. I admit, as I did my paramedic career, I hit a spot in my career where I went field adjacent and got off the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right about time capnography was coming up. We had entitled CO2, but we didn't have the actual capnography.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I came full back into the field to teach, what I was teaching was basic, so I didn't need to understand it. So I missed that whole boat.
Right.
30 minutes in that class, I got it.
Yeah.
And then the other 30 minutes, he hammered in. Okay, if you see this, you see,
mm-hmm.
Now you're looking at possibly this, this, and this. It was one of the most educational classes I've been to at one of
right.
these conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being that this is your first year, what did you come in hoping to find that maybe you didn't find here?
I mean, honestly, it's actually been really good. Can't really, you know, because I came here with the whole, I'm moving into an instructor more role at where I work. So it's kind of a, you know, learning some of these instructor classes I have been able to take. I have taken away something. So it's all good stuff. I mean, I'm very, you know, as far as being an instructor, I'm in my infancy. So it's like, I'm taking away a lot. Preceptorship and stuff, I've done that
Sure.
Quite a bit and stuff, but the actual construction and class, that's different.
Obviously not looking for you to drop names, but have you made contacts with other instructors that you can then reach out to and learn more from as you move forward?
Yeah, actually, not really made new names, more come across people that I started off my career working with, and then we've gone our separate ways, and now it's also in coming back, you know.
Yeah.
One lady, Tony, I mean, when I first got my EMT, I started off in the ER. She trained me. Now she's over at Atlanta Fire.
Laverne?
Biles.
Okay, gotcha. Biles, yeah.
Yeah. She, you know, it's kind of a, you know, so more of a, it's been a lot more of a just kind of re-meeting people, I guess you could say. And then, you know, seeing where we've all been, now it's like, hey, we can all get together, you know, kind of compare notes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is something I've also gotten out of these kind of conferences. So going back, so you need to, you're moving into this new position, you're influencing people, you've come to the conference. Are you going to go back and try to influence people underneath you to start coming to the next one and the next
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely. I think that one of the biggest things we need to do is we need to teach others so that they can teach. Because it's one thing to be taught how to do something, but when you move into a role where you actually are the one doing the teaching, you yourself are learning more. And then also getting people to step up and start instructing, teaching, precepting, whatever form it is. Those are the next step in leaders right there.
Yeah,
I already have one of my medics who works on my shift. She has already been like, you know what? Think I might want to go next year to the conference. I might be interested. I'm already in the back going. I'm like, bet I will get you there.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want, we will cultivate this.
Speaking from a personal standpoint, I have seen the biggest interaction of technicians. So that's non-instructors, non-directors, non-leadership position people. The biggest level of technician involvement is when the department encourages them to go and brings them. Great example is Haversham Fire, is they will bring I think last year, I haven't really gotten to talk to them this year, but last year they brought like 15 people. Mm-hmm. Three of those were supervisors. The rest were technicians who wanted to come along, and they paid for it. And their only rule was, you better be in the class at 8 o'clock in the morning and get your hours in. And that I see as being, just making opportunities if you can, as you can, really helps influence that. So the last thing I'd like to hit on, I've been stealing it from Ron Duckworth all week, is I thought it was a great way to set the tone for the whole conference of be the inspiration for the perspiration, the hard work that we do. What is something that you can say to inspire those that you're going to be training, those that should get into the field, or maybe those who are thinking to get out of the field, how to stay?
How to stay?
Just anything. Just what would you, where's your heart? What's something inspiring you can say to keep people in your field of passion?
Honestly, for me, what got me to, because I almost dropped out of the field, was don't let the haters win. Don't let those who are saying, you know, you don't have enough experience to do more and stuff, because I actually was told that, don't let them win. Actually, just keep at it. If you find something in this field that you are passionate about, then go for it. And then do the research, it is, and just look into it. Because when you find that, whatever that passion is the passion is what helps drive you to keep going and moving forward and keep seeing things. Once that passion got rekindled in me, like, I love respiratory and cardiac patients. And I had one case where it's like, on there out the call, and basically that call, because it was a wild hair call that out initially, it's like, what the heck's going on? But after the fact, and I was like, hey, I actually did really good on that, and then I got the follow-up care as well. I was like this is what I love. And so that just got me back into loving the job.
Awesome. That is key. I had some issues not managing my own finances, even though I wasn't making much money. When I left the field, you wouldn't feel adjacent, paramedic, had been a captain in one or two places, was a leader in my area, and was making $10.12 an hour. And could have managed my finances better, could have gotten a second job. It just was a burnout moment because I had other things going on. Went, found money, did other stuff. But what brought me satisfaction was still having a foot in this field. And I went to teach with a school. I still have my active credentials. I've cycled around. I let my paramedic lapse, went back through basic and advanced, and it's given me a different perspective on education and testing. But like you said, it's that, why did you do it in the first place? What do you love about it? When you can focus on the love and try to eliminate the negativity, whatever form it takes, internally or externally, you're right. That's what's going to keep you alive and thriving,
right,
and not just same crap, different day.
Yep.
So absolutely. I appreciate that, RJ. Amen. I like to practice gratitude because I think that's a huge part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get enough of it, but we got to give more of it. So I like to give some gratitude. Which one of these beautiful mugs?
Probably this one. I don't have a... Right. I never went the whole hose jockey route.
Right.
Stuff. I tried it and stuff, but I just never actually got into an academy. So.
I'll get you a good clay one, but I've been to many a fire station as a medic, and I'm like, that. I'm too big for that. You guys go in, you do the craziness, come out, I got your water, I got your oxygen,
absolutely.
Got whatever you need, man.
Absolutely.
But thank you, RJ. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right.